Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host for the Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast, Andy Goldstein. He of Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast, Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday at 30 from 10 p.m, and Andy Goldstein's Transcript Express, and of course Andy Goldstein's TalkSport newsletter. Interesting. Anyway, let's start the podcast with the wonderful host of The Breakfast Show, Laura Woods. She was joined by Rangers legend Ali McCoy-Smacker and double Ashes winner Freddie Flintoff. How about that for a lineup? And although Jim White has exclusively told TalkSport that the Saudi takeover of Newcastle United won't be confirmed this week. In fact, we've got a clip. And it won't be confirmed this week. There you go. Rumours continue to circulate over Steve Bruce's future at St James's Park. Once again, Quisty and Freddie urge the Magpies to stick with Brucey.
Can't be doing this to Stevie Bruce. He'll be there this morning, he'll be folding his tracksuit up thinking, is this another one for the memory box? Oh. No. Come on, stick with Steve. We've got to get this trending. Stick with Steve. Hashtag stick with Steve.
And with Freddie. Hashtag yes. Stick with Steve.
With Steve.
Because listen, yeah, you said it. You said, was you there, that he hasn't done an awful lot wrong. And there is a train of thought, and I think myself and Freddie are included in that train of thought. Why not give him the opportunity to spend some cash and try and take, get Newcastle potentially into a top six position?
Mm. By the way, yeah, I'm not arguing
hashtag,
with you.
Hashtag stick with Steve. Get it on there.
I'm not
that's
saying.
It. We've started it.
Now, Mauricio Pochettino has hinted that he would be open to a return to the Premier League and would even be tempted by a club outside the top six. So maybe he'll go back to Tottenham. Ba-dum-bunk-sh. Anyway, Danny Murphy told Jim and Natalie that he thinks the top clubs might not be attracted to Pochettino because of the Argentinians' lack of silverware.
The problem he's got is that although he developed Tottenham very, very quickly, and I was one of his biggest fans, and how he brought forward players and coached them to get better, rather than he wasn't always in the moment of we have to win or else. He was on. He developed players and the team really quickly and brilliantly. The problem he's got is the big clubs who desperately want success yesterday, Tottenham being one of them when they brought Mourinho in, have got go down the route usually of who's tried and tested. And it's the same with players. If you want success quickly, you need the best. The philosophy is generally that you need the best. When Liverpool brought in Benitez, his biggest attribute was that he'd won the league in Spain. And Liverpool wanted to win the league in England. Tottenham want silverware. The fans want silverware. They bring in Mourinho and they pay the earth for it. Because everywhere he's got them, he's got silverware. Pochettino hasn't. So he needs a club who are a bit like him, which is progressive on the way up, something that's going to take a bit of time. Maybe Newcastle has been talked about. I understand that. But if Newcastle owners have got that much money and they want success now, would you give it Pochettino? He's never won a trophy.
Back to the mid-morning show now. Jim, Natalie and Danny Murphy were joined by the Huddersfield owner, Phil Hodgkinson. Phil pleaded for English football's governing bodies to put a plan together to support clubs financially, or they'll find themselves with a bleak future.
If the EFL and all of the other governing bodies do not get together now and start to discuss and put a plan in place, their legacy will be forever tarnished and football will cease to exist in this country as we have known it. It will just not exist. There will be no pyramid. It will die. Fact. The problem is that absolutely nobody is talking about what happens to the entire football pyramid, and I include the Premier League in this, once this season's concluded. The broadcast companies, quite rightly, are losing money, so they're clawing back through this displacement of games clause a significant amount of money, potentially. That may happen again at the start of the season because it won't start on time, and therefore that clause could be invoked again. There's going to be no income, or barely any, unless clubs are looking from season tickets, sponsorship, advertising, match day revenue. And what people are missing is that this applies to every level. If you look at Daniel Levy's interview when he talks about the new Spurs stadium, their projected match day revenue, just match day revenue, is 100 million a season. Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal won't be dissimilar to that. Chelsea. The loss to clubs at every level is massive. But
so it's massive.
Let's look down the pyramid. So, and I include the National League. And the reason that I'm trying to bring this to the fore is that this is football as a whole.
Time now to hear from Katie Price's ex-husband Simon Jordan on the press box with Danny Kelly, Sean Custis, and this is Simon. What does it say? Oh yeah, just moaning.
Every other industry has the ability to change direction. Unfortunately, it might involve redundancies. Unfortunately, it might involve streamlining. You know, it might involve furloughing staff or whatever else ad infinitum. This industry doesn't quite have those luxuries, so it sits here now, staring at the problem. And ultimately, yes, you and I have discussed about them bringing TV monies forward and bringing forward solidarity payments that the Premier League has. But the bigger picture has to be not about Project Restart, about Project how football learns from this and becomes a changed entity. Because whilst the underlying problem has been highlighted by COVID-19, This was going to happen anyway, not to this extent, but it's unsustainable, the football pyramid. And unless we're going to say we're happy to wave goodbye to 30 or 40 clubs at one point sooner rather than later, rather than say, let's take the hard yards, let's change football, let's make it sustainable, let's not make it all about players and salaries and broadcasters, let's make it a sustainable business so that actually we can continue to have the wonderful 92 clubs, or 91 as we currently got in the professional pyramid. And the fact that someone's coming out and saying it, Paul Scally came out the other day from Gillingham railing against the PFA. You're going to hear a lot more voices coming out. Mark Palios has come out and spoken very well. Whatever you may think of Mark Palios' tenure at the FA as its chief executive, he got that position because of merit. He also understands the business of sports because he was a professional footballer. He also was a first-rate accountant at Ernst & Young. So he's talking about the framework of football changing. So it is right to say, because we only really care, come on, about the Premier League. Media only care about the Premier League. The backstory to everything is the Premier League, and that's understandable because it's the big noise. But outside of it, you've got to tub thump really loud.
Back now to Freddie Flintoff talking Paul Weller.
Behind the record counter, don't forget, at Woolworths.
I was selling
all this. I was selling Wildwood, Paul Weller and Stanley Road.
Were you a mod?
And no, I wasn't a mod. No. I was far too smart.
Were you a rocker? No, I was
a bit of a nerd.
Oh.
I've seen him live a couple of times. I've sold his CDs, and then I did Jonathan Ross show a few years ago. And he was on it with us, and I was just sat there looking at him, and I got a bit starstruck, to be honest with you, thinking, this is actual Paul Weller. I paid to watch you. I've sold your CDs. This is amazing.
Was he cool in real life? I bet he was.
Yeah, just so cool. Just swans around, doesn't he, doing what he wants. Perfect.
Simon Jordan here. You and I are both listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast.
Now, TalkSport's James Savundra has been speaking to Southampton striker Danny Ings, as well as discussing that 9-0 defeat to Leicester earlier on in the season. Ingsy spoke about top flight footsie returning.
That was a real eye-opener, that if we didn't, you know, work even harder and sort out the problems that we've been having, then things could have got a lot worse. But credit to the lads and all, you know, the manager and the staff and everybody at the club. We all came together and showed real commitment to what we were about. And you could see it in our performances from that moment. And yeah, it has been up and down since. But I think from that moment, yeah, a real eye-opener to what could have been if we hadn't have turned things around. And we know that, you know, the last 9 games of the season are going to be extremely tough as well, and it's a huge challenge. There's a lot of teams in and around us that, you know, we want to keep climbing the table. You know, so when it's safe to do so and we're given the green light, we want to hit the ground running straight away.
What's it been like for you personally going back to the training ground this week? Because some of the pictures that got tweeted out from the Saints Twitter account, I thought they were incredible images when you see players returning to the training ground with face masks on. Just paint a picture for what it's been like returning for phase one.
Yeah, well, I spoke to the physios and the docs before kind of we came back in, and they kind of give me a little bit of an insight to what it's going to be like. And yeah, it probably took a day to adapt to, you know, all the protocols and everything that's in place. But I mean, you know, we're wearing face masks, we're wearing gloves as soon as we go in. We're seeing the doctor straight away. We have to carry our own boxes, all of our stuff. We wash our kit at home. You know, we're not using any of the buildings. So all the protocols are there and in place. You know, and we're maintaining the distancing. So yeah, you know, credit to all of the staff for putting all of these protocols in place. Because for me personally, I feel safe going into training.
Back now to the breakfast show, and we can hear from Didi Haman, who was looking back at the night Liverpool won the Champions League against AC Milan all the way back in 2005. Can't believe it was 13 years ago. Incredible. Anyway, it was the 15th anniversary. Oh, they've got that wrong. Yesterday.
I was empty going, walking in at half time, but then the 50 minutes made a big change because, you know, sometimes you have to reflect what happened. Yes, we were 3-0 down against probably the best team in the world at the time. But, you know, stranger things happened. And I thought if we get a first goal in the second half, I'm pretty sure we get a second one. And then we need to see how they react. And did I believe we can do it at halftime? No, but I had hoped that, yeah, at least we can give them a game. And after the first goal went in, you could feel in the stadium something is changing. Well, I was only in for a few minutes because I came on. So we got in the dressing room and Rafa said that, you know, have a breather, have a drink. A couple of minutes later, he came back, addressed us, and he said, we make a change. Initially, Jimmy Traore was going to come off. And yeah, he went through the team. Obviously, the reason me coming on was to play 3 at the back and then Alonso and myself being in midfield and move Steven Gerrard a bit closer forward or a bit closer to the goal because he was our biggest goal threat. That was the reason or the thinking behind it. He went through the set pieces and I went outside to warm up. And I'm not sure whether the fans were singing at halftime. I certainly did because I was out on the pitch. But I think the game was a huge lift. And when the lads come back out of the dressing room, they were still singing, some maybe hoping we can give Milan a game, some maybe out of desperation, but they were still there. But I think the turning point then was the first goal because the whole mood in the stadium changed.
No Paul and Andy yesterday, of course, on TalkSport because it was a bank holiday Monday.
Yeah, but they're just at home doing nothing. Why didn't they do the show?
Well, it's bank holiday, isn't it? Because they don't work on bank holidays.
Yeah, but we're on lockdown, so they couldn't go out.
Yeah, no, I know that, but it's bank holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, but they were just sitting there doing nothing. Why didn't they do...
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? So Charlie Baker and some competition winner were in their place. This is H&J playing Don't Ask Me yesterday.
All right, Charlie, you got 1 minute for this, okay? 13th of April 2020. In the first hour of the show, we had some breaking news. A Premier League club made a U-turn on their decision to furlough their non-playing staff. Which club was it?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Correct. We played Roll Your Own Football. Arsenal hosted Wolves. Mm. Adrian Clarke represented Arsenal. Who represented Wolves?
Matt Murray.
Correct. Oh. Did we play EFL by dice?
No.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yes, no question. Ridiculous. Who played against Tim the Truth Vine in the original Trust Darts?
Chris Washington.
Chris the Whitewash Washington, yes. And TalkSport's boxing correspondent Gareth A. Davis joined us to talk about Carl Froch calling out which Welsh former two-weight world champion?
Joe Calzaghe.
Correct.
Pretty
four
good.
Out of five.
Pretty good.
We can hear from Adrian Durham and Darren Goff on Drive picking their best ever one-club players. I would imagine Matt Letizia is in that lineup somewhere, probably number one.
Well, my number one is this is a guy who I have a lot of respect for. I love him as a footballer, but listen this.
Parte Miralem, eccolo il tentativo di tiro, la palla respinta, il capitano della gara!
That's what they think of it. This guy, Totti, absolutely love him. 25 years he played for Roma, this guy.
That's mad.
It is. But one thing I like about him, this is a guy who stayed at a club, really, who were never really going to be the dominant side in that league. This is what I admire about him. And he was brilliant every single season. The second highest goal scorer in Serie A history, 250. He's got 785 appearances. He won a World Cup in 2006 as well for his country. It's very, very rare, isn't it, that a team outside the top three of the Milan teams and Juventus go on to win Scudetto. He did it, and Roma did it. He played into his 40s, and he says a title in Rome, with Roma, is worth 10 elsewhere. This is what I love about him. But it's sad news since, actually, because he was made that club director in 2017. I remember watching Liverpool at Anfield against Roma. He was there cheering on his side. It was a great game, by the way. And now he's fallen out with the owner, hasn't he? And he's resigned, and he's ended his 30 years with the club and said he won't go back till there's a new owner. So, massive, massive player. Huge respect for him to stay at a club like that, knowing he was never going to win the trophies that some of the other teams would have had. And every other club would have had him. Let's be honest about it. Every other club would have had him.
And, of course, the best bits of last night's Sports Bar. Now, obviously, I'm not going to try and pull the wool over your eyes saying, oh, it was a great show, because you know that I'm recording this before the show. But it was a great show, obviously.
Fun all round is music.
Okay.
This will be good. Jay, are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
Here we go. Finish the Britney Spears single, Whop Me Baby, one more time.
Whoop Me.
What? Finish the famous Oasis track, Don't Look.
Down at my tool.
Who did Dolly Parton duet with to make Islands in the Stream?
Bernie Eccleston.
Name the four members of the Beatles.
Oh my gosh. So, Craig.
I'll let Craig, you finish.
Who's Craig Fairbass.
There's one.
Ian Woodyard from...
Adam Woodyard.
Adam Woodyard, that's the one. That's
Ian Bill. Woodyard,
yeah. Peter Graves. And Oliver McCall.
Just in time.
Oliver
as well.
McCall. Oliver, he was the boxer, wasn't he?
He's a boxer, yeah.
I mean, you've done well there.
That's a lot. To name four.
That's a lot of work there, that is, yeah.
It's a lot, mate. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You did well, I think.
Yeah.
A good innings from Jay today.
Well done, Jay. Good work.
Andy, I know you're born ready, but are you ready for your...
I'm born ready, Bill.
Music
round.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Here we go. One of Elton John's biggest hits was What in the Wind?
Farting.
Finish the Robbie Williams hit, Let Me What You.
Enjoy You.
Finish the Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of...
Your Backside.
Who wrote the famous EastEnders theme tune?
That was Wesley Snipes.
Finish the Beatles song, Here Comes...
Me.
Who is Miley Cyrus' country singing father?
Linda Lovelace. I haven't said Linda Lovelace for maybe 30 years. How's that happened? Oh, wow, we've got some good ones there. Some good ones.
Well done. Good work.
Some good ones. I do enjoy ending the show with a smile on my face.
With us panicking.
Yeah.
With us panicking, yeah. Well, that's it for another podcasty thing. Thanks so much for downloading. You can download previous ones via Acast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or future ones as well. Don't forget, of course, if you do have a Rage Yard diary, to put my show in it every night of the week, including Friday. You might as well stick Fridays in. I know you don't listen to Adam Catcher or Mickey Gray, but just pretend you do. All right? Just do it for me. Just tick it off and go, yeah, listen to it Monday to Friday. That would be nice. And Sunday, of course. from 9 p.m. If you can do that, I'd owe you one. Well, I wouldn't owe you one. I'm never going to see you again. But if I do see you in a pub and you genuinely do own a Radio Diary, bring proof of that diary over to me and I will happily buy you a pint when, of course, we get back into pubs. Either way, I hope to see you all soon. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tonight from 10 p.m. for more sports bar action with the Fun Boy. In the meantime, have a good day, keep your distance, wash your hands, and above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.